The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
We've mentioned this story a couple of times during the afternoon. My college tried to stop me from speaking about religion. Now we'll meet in the Supreme Court. That's the headline in the Washington Post's opinion piece written by a college student from Nigeria who discovered, much to his dismay, that all the freedoms he'd been taught are so abundant here in America aren't necessarily always available. We're going to get more of the details because it's now before the High Court of the Land. Joining us to talk about it, Alliance for Defense attorney Kristen Wagoner, who argued the case starting today. Kristen, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Can you tell us more of the backstory, as we call it, of this young man, and I guess others as well who've been affected, perhaps indirectly, by this same case? What's happened?
Well, in 2013, Alliance Defending Freedom sent a letter to Georgia Gwinnett College officials and alerted them that their speech policies on campus were unconstitutional. They restricted student speech to two tiny speech zones, 0.0015% of the whole campus. They required advanced permission, and you could only engage in free speech in these areas every 30 days. Wow. So that's unconstitutional. 3 years later, they censored Kike Uzubunum, one of their students, not once, but twice. They silenced him in the student public areas where he had a right to speak as he was trying to share the gospel with his fellow students. And that resulted in the lawsuit.
Where did it go from there? As I understand it from a story I was reading in the Post, I mean, it all started, he was simply trying to share his faith. Wasn't he originally trying to stay within the parameters of the university's requirements and stay in the speech zones and so forth?
Ironically, yes, he was trying to stay within the policies. When he first shared, tried to share his faith in July of 2016, he was approached by campus police and told that he needed to get essentially a permit or advanced permission and be in a different place in the speech zone in order to speak. So he met with college officials to make sure he knew what the policy was. He got his permit. He went out on the designated day, and then campus police stopped him a second time and stopped him from sharing his religious beliefs with his peers, this time saying that his speech made others feel uncomfortable. And Georgia later called it fighting words or akin to fighting words and said it would be unconstitutional or receive absolutely no protection under the First Amendment. And so that launched the lawsuit when Georgia refused to change its position initially.
And as I understand it, he never did know who complained, but somebody heard it, was offended by it, in quotes, and went to the college apparently and brought all this down on his head. Is that right?
Yes. It's unclear. He was just told by campus police that there had been some calls and that any speech that made anyone else feel uncomfortable could be qualified as disorderly conduct under the college's code of conduct and result in student discipline, which is essentially a heckler's veto. And that's not constitutional. Remember, we're dealing with a public university, so the First Amendment applies to that public university.
And as I understand it also from some material that your office sent out today, it actually intimidated another student, one Joseph Bradford, into silence as well. Is he part of the lawsuit, or is this just a separate issue that came out of this?
They are both a part of the lawsuit. Chike was silenced twice, and Joseph wanted to go out and share his faith. He was friends with Chike, but hearing the threats against Chike, felt that he couldn't because he too would be disciplined. And if you think about it, those students lost forever the chance to get those days back and to speak their message to their peers.
Talk then, if you would, about where to now. You, as of I understand it today, you opened arguments on this case at the Supreme Court. Can you take us there and tell us what happened, what it was like?
Yes, well, it's a fairly technical issue, but it's an issue that matters greatly to protect all of our constitutional rights, and not even just the right of free speech, but our Second Amendment rights, our Fourth Amendment rights, and similar rights, our right to due process. What was at issue was Georgia Gwinnett College later changed its policy and thought that it had now provided a policy that was constitutional. And after it changed its policy, it told the court, go ahead and dismiss this case. Ignore what we did to Chike, that past injury. We don't need to do anything to redress that. But we fix the policy moving forward. And that's just not right under constitutional law. If the government can violate someone's rights without any accountability, then we have to ask ourselves, what's the point of having those rights?
So what are you seeking in terms of damages of some sort for these men? Or what other recourse are you looking for, as you say? That's one question. The second is, are you satisfied with the quote-unquote new policy that Gwinnett College has created for itself?
Well, the irony of the Georgia government's position today is that they say we're not seeking enough in damages. These two students simply want to have their rights vindicated, and the law says that we can't properly value, put dollars and cents on what it means to lose your free speech rights. So they asked for nominal damages, meaning an amount of $1, $10, or $100 that simply identifies the fact that a violation has occurred and money changes hands to show accountability and liability as well. And so that's all they were asking for, but Georgia wouldn't even give them that. In terms of the new policy, there is some question about whether that new policy satisfies the First Amendment, but right now we just need to get these students back in court to be able to litigate those issues. They never even got their day in court, and we know that Georgia violated the Constitution in silencing Chike and Joseph. They need their day in court, and they deserve to have redress for that injury.
How has the situation been for the two of them on the campus since? Because obviously, by now, this is a well-known incident or incidents that I'm sure fellow students and faculty are well aware of. Have they gotten any kind of bias against them in the meantime since?
Well, they're not at the college anymore, because if you think about it, this
right.
incident occurred 4 years ago. And that's the problem with these kinds of cases. The government is able to sort of wait out the clock until students graduate or they're not attending anymore. And then they tell the courts, there's nothing to see here. There's nothing for you to do here. It doesn't matter that we silence these students. And that's just, it's not how early American and English courts provided the type of remedies that we need. And it's when Congress passed the Section 1983, which gives us the right to sue the government for constitutional rights, it said it's critical that we vindicate those rights and hold governments accountable.
So what do you expect? Do you have any sense of where the high court is on this, how they may rule?
We are hopeful. There are a number of different issues that come up in the case. As I said, there are different legal doctrines that are implicated by it, but we're hopeful, based on the court's questions, that they will continue to follow the rule that the common law followed, that English courts have followed, and that all of the majority of circuits in this nation have followed for many, many years. It's simply the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals, which Georgia is in, that has essentially taken a step backwards and denied redress or remedy to victims of government misconduct.
No idea when a decision may be coming for you one way or the other?
We do know that it will be no later than June, because that's when the court issues all of its decisions right. for the term. But I would expect it should come earlier than that.
Well, we wish the best for you and especially your clients and all of us, because this really does speak to the heart of what all of our children and grandchildren or whatever, all of our population faces when they go on today's college campuses. Time and again, there's seemingly this willingness to quite readily abridge speech if it's of a certain sort, right?
Yes, it is viewpoint discrimination. And that's another reason why a win for Chike is a win for every single student in this country. And really for all Americans, regardless of their viewpoint.
Well, we'll encourage our audience to continue praying with you and ADF on this and other cases that you work on. We have such respect for the work you all do, and thank you for talking with me about it right now.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.